she was telling me I'd been hit by the bus and had a broken hip that did an hours-long operation, put me back together. I pulled off my nightgown, looked at my hip. I said, where's the bandages? I said, Leon, you've been in a coma for 2 months. You've healed.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. And this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Welcome to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and we talk to runners of all kinds. And today I have a special guest, Leon Gray. Ran into him in a Facebook running group, and 3 weeks before he turned 65, he was hit by a bus. And now I'm going to shorten this. He's probably going to fill in more details, but he broke bones. He spent 2 months in a coma, and after 2 years of hard recovery, he ran a 5K. And that accident now was 10 years ago, and he's still running, doing ultra distances now. So, Leon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What I always do is start off by telling people, how did you get started as a runner? From your Facebook post, I wasn't sure if you ran after your accident or were you a runner before?
I've always enjoyed being out and running.
Okay.
Even in high school, I was running through the woods, so forth. Trying out new trails. So I've always done that. When my oldest daughter came along, I was running big time at that time and doing lots of 5Ks and 10Ks.
Uh-huh. So were you out running when you got hit by the bus?
I was mountain biking.
You're out biking. Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, the bike did a lot better than I did. Yeah, bent the frame a little bit. One of the wheels was just barely bent, but otherwise, superficially, it looked good.
So, was it? Tell a little bit about your background. How did it happen? You were out bicycling, and what resulted in the accident?
I was on my way home from about 15-mile ride, 3 miles from the house, at a crosswalk with a signal light. We don't know what happened. I don't know if I tried to beat the light or if the bus tried to beat the light. We never could really determine what happened. But if I had another half second, I'd be clear.
Uh-huh. That's the way it normally, when you have an accident like that, it usually comes down to just fractions of a second, doesn't it? So tell me, I mean, what happened? I mean, I kind of glossed over your injuries, but talk a little bit about what you're active in running, and you're 3 weeks before 65. And what was the result of getting hit by a bus?
Well, the result of the bus accident was shattered hip, broken leg, compound broken leg, fractured shoulder and elbow, I don't know what else. End up taking a nearly a $20,000 helicopter ride to the UCI for acute medical intensive care for 2 months. Like I said, I don't remember a thing of my $20,000 helicopter ride.
Yeah. Well, it was probably, so did they bring the helicopter then to the accident site? Was that?
Yeah, they brought someplace. I never forget exactly where they landed to get me.
Okay.
I don't know. So they took me someplace. I don't know.
So you were, they were worried enough about you that they called in that.
Yes.
You know, rather than calling in a ground ambulance. So then you said you were in recovery for a long time. What was the recovery process like?
Learning how to walk again after being in a coma for 2 months and bedridden for another month or 2 months after that, I couldn't walk. Had to use a walker, learn how to walk again.
Mm-hmm. So what were your doctors telling you about this? I mean, were you asking them about whether you were going to be able to get back to running and cycling?
They didn't really say much of anything.
They what?
Did not say much of anything.
Okay. They just kind of expected you to do the best you could.
They talked mostly to my wife, and she didn't tell me a whole lot other than they had no clue what I'd be like when I woke up.
Okay. So they weren't sure they even walked.
Story about waking up. My wife, after 2 months, my wife was happened to be in the room when I woke up. And my first words to her were, "I will love you." Of all the things I could have said that put me in the doghouse forever, I think I said the right thing.
Yeah. That is good that you had that kind of that, because you probably weren't thinking about what the consequences would be if you said the wrong thing. You just said the first thing out of your mouth.
Oh, one other quick story. A couple of days later, she was telling me I'd been hit by the bus and had a broken hip that did an hours long operation, put me back together. I pulled off my nightgown, looked at my hip. I said, "Where's the bandages?" I said, "Leon, you've been in a coma for 2 months. You've healed."
Yeah, that would be kind of hard to get yourself adjusted to that, losing that kind of time.
Yeah.
So you went through physical therapy?
I had no pain from any of that.
Okay, because you'd already healed. The 2 months you'd already healed, so you didn't.
My leg was healed. Broken bones all healed.
Okay.
Except for my shoulder, still a pain.
Mm-hmm. So was the pain in learning how to walk wasn't necessarily from the broken bones. It was just from your muscles not being used for the time. Okay.
Yes. Just lack of strength.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to recover?
After I woke up, I started walking and probably about 3 or 4 months, starting to walk around the block, a quarter mile around the block, and I started out doing longer. And about 6 or 7 months, I was doing pretty good, taking some 2 mile walks up and down. Then I got a hernia from the pelvic operation, had that fixed, had a hematoma, had to go back to the hospital, get that take care of. That's where I picked up a MRSA infection.
Oh, no.
Back in the hospital for another month. That first year was a bitch.
So did you have in your mind that you were going to get back to where you were before?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've really done anything special. I would think that anybody that suffers an accident like I did want to get out there and be well again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work at it. And I had no illusions about working at it again.
Yeah. And it's the same thing about somebody who wants to get in shape. If they, if they have been inactive, it takes some time to get back into it.
Yes.
You just had to start over because you were set back.
I've had to start over several times since then.
So what, that was 10 years ago. So tell a little bit about what you've done, in the last 10 years. I mean, from the time of your accident, what was your activity like? What kinds of things were you doing?
2 years after the accident, I did my first 5K. Took me 45 minutes. So I was happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started doing some other shorter races around here and there. It did okay. I was happy with it. My time slowly got better. I got down to about a 34-minute 5K time.
Okay. That's a pretty good improvement.
45 minutes to 34 minutes. And I was training for a marathon, and I came down with plantar fasciata knee pain and hamstring all at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
That knocked me out for a full year, just recovering from that.
Wow. So, and that was just from the, I mean, runner, a lot of runners suffer those kinds of, yes. those kinds, of, but you got all, you got like all of them at once. That's so did you know what led to that? Were you trying to go too fast or?
I don't know if it was too much too soon. I don't know. I can't call 16 miles. It's not that much really in training, mm-hmm. but at 16 minutes pace, that's about as fast as I could go. Yeah. I don't know if it's just too much too soon or too hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to wrap my head around that 16 minute pace is hard.
So before your accident, what kind of pace were you, what were you used to running?
Years ago, I ran a 3:14 marathon.
A 3:14 marathon. Okay.
And then when my oldest daughter came along, we were in a racing stroller. Mm-hmm. And we did the Cowtown Marathon in 4 hours. I pushed her 4 hours and 2 minutes, I think.
Okay.
So we did a lot of 5Ks and 10Ks, but my best time for the 5K was right at 20 minutes and right at 40 minutes for 5K.
Okay. 40 minutes for 10K?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said you were pushing a stroller. How old was your daughter?
When I did the marathon, she was probably a year and a half or 2 years old.
Okay. Okay.
And she did good. Only problem we had was if we went by playground, she wanted to get out and play. I told her, okay, I'll take you after we finish the run. I'll take you to the playground.
Well, and that's pretty amazing that she would sit still for that kind of time.
Yeah, we did. I had two Cocker Spaniels too. And all four of us would run down, do 5 miles at a time. And they were really good dog to run with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a decent marathon time. And especially, well, if you're pushing a stroller, 4 hours is pretty good too.
Yeah.
So you were used to running a pretty decent pace. So,
yes.
So when you were you said when you were 65 before the bus hit you, were you still at that pace or were you still able to maintain?
No, I was doing about 4:30 marathon at that time.
Okay. Okay. Well, and that's still pretty fast. So that's like
nine hours. Between 4:35, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, because I think
not as fast I would have liked, but nevertheless.
Because I ran a marathon when I was in my late 20s and I was 4 hours and 40 minutes and I felt happy to be to finish with that. But I've never been that fast of a runner. So you had a pretty good background of fast.
I started doing lots of trail running. I used to belong to the Hesh House Harriers in Dallas and Atlanta and St. Louis. So we did a lot of trail running.
Okay. I didn't realize the Hash Runners. Didn't know the Hash Runners were running trails. Yeah. Does it just kind of depend on the club as to what, mm-hmm. what kind of terrain they run on?
Yes. Yeah. They've really run in everything.
Okay. Okay. So, what was hash running like? I mean, I've heard people talk about it, but I've never experienced it.
Well, it's a drinking problem. It's a running problem with a drinking problem.
I've heard them say that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. Of course, a lot of hashes go out and do a lot of trail bushwhacking. No trail, just follow the flower through briars and everything else. So, you know, mud, maybe a mud waist deep. Crossing a muddy creek.
Okay.
It's all good fun. But it is, some hashes are definitely for the more mature audience.
Yeah. I talked to a guy who's been to the local hash club here, and he said, yeah, they're pretty, you have to not be easily offended.
Yes, absolutely. But although there are some hackers that are more family oriented, but you have to find those.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The things he was telling me about the local one here is like, I don't think they're family oriented.
But it is a lot of fun, and you get to see sites that you never realize that right under your nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and they're international too.
Yes, they are.
A lady that I talked with a little while back, she was in India. It's been years ago. And she said she found a local hash group. Mm-hmm. While she was in India, and that was her way of connecting with people, because she was in a foreign country.
Yeah, we went to New Zealand years ago for the International Hash and had a great time down there.
Oh, so do they have like an international get together?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That would be, that would be a
5,000 of my closest beer drinking buddies.
Yeah. I would imagine there would be some interesting stories that would come out of that.
You meet some quite a few characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you started running trails after, was that before your accident, or was that after?
Before the accident, I did a lot of trail running.
Okay. Okay. So have you done trail running since then?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
I still do trail running, but it can't be very technical.
Okay.
I just can't lift my legs up like I used to. Matter of fact, I'm doing a 50K Saturday.
Okay.
And up in a quarter of Arizona, and it's in the high desert, and it's all ATV roads. So okay. It'll be rough and stuff, but it won't be too bad.
Yeah, I know a lot of, there are a lot of trails in Arizona that I've, people who have run there say that, you know, it's rocky. It's a little bit rocky, but a lot of the trails are not very technical. They're not as technical as some of the ones back east, where you've got roots and a lot of steep stuff. I mean, I guess there would be some in Arizona, but the ones, the races that people have relayed to me, they said they haven't been quite that bad. So the Javelina 100 was the one that I was looking at, and people told me, says, well, yeah, there's a little bit, you know, but it's not too bad. So.
Yep. I think over 30 miles, I think the 2,000 feet elevation gain, which is not that bad.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
And mostly it's pretty flat, but there are a lot of gullies. Mm-hmm. It worked out that you go down, you have to go back up on the other side.
Yeah, and that doesn't really count much for elevation, because the gullies can be only just a few feet deep, but still have steep banks.
It adds up on the going down and coming back up does add up.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing that race on Saturday?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm hoping to do it in 10 hours.
Okay. Okay. Is that the cutoff?
No, there's really no cutoff. It's called the Grandmasters Ultra.
Okay.
You have to be 50.
Okay.
I've
heard someone mention that.
50K, 50-miler, 100K to 100-miler.
Okay. I heard someone mention that that she was looking at that. I remember she said it was in Arizona. The Grandmasters Ultra for over 50.
Yes, they do a good job there.
Okay, and they're not getting shut down.
No, they're not.
Okay, that's good. I know there, a lot of race directors have ended races this year, and.
Several here in Southern Cal have gone out of business.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think some of it depends on the area. I know there's some races in Utah that have gone on.
Yes.
And they, I guess, whatever they submitted their plan for how they're going to conduct the race to the authority, you know, whoever was giving the permission to let the event, you know.
Now, this one you have to do social distancing. They're going to have a staggered start,
mm-hmm.
Spread everybody out. But of course, on a 50K, it only takes a few minutes for everybody spread out anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was signed up for the, Bandera 100K. And
they went in Texas?
The one in Texas, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine did that years ago. It was tough.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's a tough course. And I was signed up for it, and they had, again, what you had talked about, the social distancing, staggered start, and they didn't have, a lot of the gathering things that a lot mm-hmm. of the races have had, kind of what we're used to. I was like, yeah, it worked. And but I wasn't able to go. So, I ended up not being able to go. I ended up getting COVID, and I recovered right at the time when the race was supposed to start. So I was like,
oh boy.
I told him, I says, no, we're too close. So
recovered well.
Oh, it was mild. I've had colds that were worse. the thing, losing a sense of smell was annoying, but as far as physical symptoms, like I said, I've had colds that felt worse than this. So
yes.
It affects everybody differently. But, so you've also run longer distances. You've done a couple 100Ks. Is that?
I've done some 24 hour distance where I have hit 100K.
Okay. Oh, you say it was a 24 hour race and you hit 100K.
Yeah.
Okay. What is that like? I have not done a timed race of 24 hours. What is that like?
It could be repetitious.
Yeah.
But the one I've done, the two that I've done is one is basically a big square. And okay. That wasn't too bad. But the other one I've done called the Nanny Goat, it's a 1 mile loop, but it's a lot of turns in it to get, and it just kind of slows you down. Mm-hmm. Sharp turns. But it's a big party animal, party town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So something that pull you in and slow you down, or were you able to keep?
There's one turn that's called the cone of death. We make a U-turn around a traffic cone.
Okay.
And after hours, it gets to be a royal pain going around that cone. It is well organized, and the people there are lots of fun.
Where was that at? Is that in
it was California? Riverside, California. Okay. Called the Nanny Goat.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've done the closest I've come was we did a sunrise to sunset run. It was just our local running group.
Okay.
And on the close to the solstice. It was close enough to the solstice that the time of, the time between sunrise and sunset only varied about a minute or two from the solstice, but it was a solstice celebration.
Okay.
And so we ran sunrise to sunset. And the thing that I found is it was a quarter mile loop. And the thing I found, it was too easy to stop and get a drink.
Yes, that too.
And if it were a mile loop, you would have a little bit, you wouldn't be stopping as much, but
that's really what I've been looking for, something for at least a mile. The, I've got a 24 hour race coming up in about 3 weeks. It's a 6K out and a 6K back.
Okay.
A 10K out, 10K back, 6 miles out, 6 miles back.
So 12 miles before you have to turn around and do it again. Okay. That wouldn't, is it a single track trail, or is it like a?
It is a paved trail along river.
Okay.
So it's wide, and there is a dirt path alongside it. So you can run on dirt if you need to.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The thing that I've found on single tracks out and back is that depending on how crowded it is, it's difficult to get off the trail, or you have to, if you're slower than everybody else, you spend a lot of time stopping and letting the faster people go by.
Yeah, this is nice and wide, so it won't be a problem. And the 24 hours actually starts at dark, so So that can eliminate a lot of people right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So have you done one that starts at dark before?
I have not.
Okay.
Even my first time.
Yeah, that, and 24 hours would make it a little bit different. There's some 50K races that start at dark. And I've been looking at those for this coming year because they're in places where it's pretty hot. So
okay,
I thought that might be but for 50K, you usually have a cutoff of 9 or 10 hours, and so you're done about the time the sun comes up.
Now that's what's nice about the Grandmasters. If you're doing the 100-miler, I think it's 48 hours cutoff.
Okay, that's a very generous cutoff.
It is.
So what is the course like on the Grandmasters?
It's just high desert.
High desert. Okay. So it's not extremely technical, probably some ups and downs. And
yes.
Okay.
Ruts, ATV road.
Okay. That's it. And you said that's the one that's coming up. You said you're going to that one is shortly. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing Saturday.
We're doing that Saturday. Wow, I'll have to look into that for next year. I know.
Oh, please. They do a great job with it. And the price is pretty reasonable, too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because some of those longer races can get pretty expensive.
Yeah, and you fly into Vegas. So you've got cheap flights into Vegas.
Okay. Okay, so it's in the northern part of Arizona, then?
Yeah, it's halfway between Vegas and St. George, Utah.
Okay. Okay.
About an hour drive from Vegas.
About an hour from it. Okay. Wow. That's a beautiful country out there.
It is. If you like the desert, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah. So what do you have? What do you have looking forward after that? I mean, you got a 24-hour race coming up in
about 3 weeks. Hopefully I can be recovered by then.
Okay. Okay.
But since I'm going so slow, I'm not beating myself up.
So how was it? How did you handle the mental side of that? Slowing down. Were you able to adjust that?
I just have to deal with it. All I can say, I'm beating everybody else that's sitting on the couch.
Yes, and that is true, and. So do you have anything to say for, I know a lot of people when they're in their 40s, and I kind of laugh at this too, they're in their 40s and they think, when I get to be 50 years old, I'm not going to be able to run anymore. What?
I've got a good friend. He's 82. For his 82nd birthday, he did 82 miles in 3 days.
Okay.
Took him 3 days. He did 50K one day and broke the other up, ended up with 82 miles in 3 days.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good runner. His daughter is super good too.
Yeah, I think it always is amusing. I mean, I'm looking back. I mean, I know kind of the mindset of, you know, people who are in their 40s is like, they look at us and think, oh my goodness, how, you know.
I used to do an obstacle run called the Camp Pendleton Mud Run.
Okay.
And it's down at Camp Pendleton, and they have it's sold out every year for weeks at a time. Years ago, you could wait about a month before the race, sign up and get in.
Mm-hmm.
But it got so popular that you had to sign up on New Year's Day at midnight to get in, even though the race wasn't until May.
Okay.
It was sell out New Year's Day for a race in May. But I be running, be getting close to the finish, and some young dude come up beside me and pass me. He said, he asked me how old I am. I told him I was 63 or 64, whatever. I said, dang, I hope I can run like you when I was that age. So I used to do pretty good in my age group before the accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people who run fast. I mean, I've seen some times that over 60 have you know, over 60 age group has put in on 100-mile races and think, wow. Oh, no.
There's a guy on Facebook named Dickie Longo. He's 81, 82. Before all this crap hit about COVID, he was running a 5K every week, 55 races a year.
Okay.
And he was doing them in like 34 minutes.
Wow. That's a pretty respectable time for, you know, for 80 years old.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not 80 and that's a pretty good time for me. But
yeah, you have to look him up on Facebook. He's quite an interesting character.
I will do that. So what do you have looking forward? Do you have any races that you haven't run that you'd like to?
Six years ago, I was kind of wanting to do something like a Tough Mudder.
Uh-huh.
But that's way beyond me now.
Well, the Camp Pendleton race kind of sounded a little bit like that. Is that the tough mudder? Was it obstacle course race?
No, it's a lot of hills. You have to carry like a 40-pound weight for 100 yards or 200 yards or something like that. And so it's not for wimpies.
Yeah, I've seen some people training for something like that. There's a lake where I run, and the dam. There's a dirt dam. And they were at the bottom carrying, and they had this big sandbag over their shoulders, and they weren't quite running up the hill because I don't know, they must have probably weighed 100 pounds or so, but they were, yeah. I mean, it's a steep hill. And they were.
Yeah. Well, I used to be in the landscape business years ago, built koi ponds, and we used drill rock. So we would move tons of rock by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Only built those. So I was in really good shape at that time. I could have done something like the Tough Mudder if that had any problem.
Yeah. Well, thank you a lot for having this conversation. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
And if somebody wants to find you on Facebook and wanted to reach out to you, where can they?
Just Leon Gray.
Just your name, Leon Gray, and Gray is G-R-A-Y.
I have a gray t-shirt on that says "Hit by Bus." What is your excuse?
That is a good saying, because
the way I look at it, I was hit by a bus. It made me handicapped, but at least it wasn't a hearse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you recovered well. I mean, to recover and get back to running is a pretty good feat.
I worked at it. It had my ups and downs, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that is the excuses are easy to make. I mean, that's the thing. Right. And I know throughout my life there have been times I've made excuses, and I've had to finally get back and, you know, step out and talk to myself, saying, quit making excuses. You need to just get out and do it. So,
yeah, I've enjoyed it too.
So,
yeah, I hope somebody finds me on Facebook, and if they could let me know that they saw this on a podcast or something, I'd be more inclined
to actually visit with them.
I could have. Thousands of people on my Facebook page, but I just try to limit it to people I've actually met somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, through this, there may be people who have heard your story and may want to talk to you. So,
you probably read my story on Facebook where I was hit by the bus and all that good stuff. Last time I looked here, I've had 3,500 reactions.
Yeah.
Likes and loves on that. Mm-hmm. And then I posted a follow-up story few days later, and I have another 600, 400, 500 reactions on that one. So my story has been seen by a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that people will see this and hear this and say, wow, you know, I need to get myself, I don't have any more excuses. If he can do it after getting hit by a bus. Because that's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm too old to run, or I do, you know, but yeah, if you can recover from being hit by a bus and get back and run again, it's like that. There's a lot of people out there who.
I tried. It's not really running anymore, but it's lots of power walking. That's about all I can manage.
Well, you know, if you're moving faster than a walk, you know, I still call it running. And now that's, I know that, you know, walking pace is around 20 minutes a mile. And so if you're doing, you know, 18 minutes a mile on a trail, that's still a pretty good pace. And and you're doing the distance too.
Yes.
You know, that's the big thing. When people say you're walking, you know, you walk, you're still walking faster, and you're not just taking a stroll along the trail.
Trying not to do a stroll.
Yeah.
And, not lollygagging.
Yeah. It's not like the yoga moms who are, you know, holding their coffee and walking down the street chatting. but you know, at least they're ahead of the people on the couch though. I mean, that's like there's so many people who don't exercise at all. So, yeah, my hope is that people will see that. And you know, my story was I was out of shape for 30 years, and just let myself go. And finally, when I turned 60, I lost some weight and said, you know, I bet I could start running again. And so I started running, and it's like, why did I ever stop? So, well, thank you a lot, Leon. I appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you a lot. Good talking with you. Have a great day.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset. Or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.